every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. And I will remind you today, thank you for coming and join us today. And we trust that you'll be touched by something inspiring as we praise and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King. And also, I'd like to thank all your contributions and your support yesterday at our annual church picnic. And we couldn't make it without you. Everybody brought lovely eateries, snacks, drinks, friends. You brought friends and family. And let us continue to take this ministry real seriously as an outreach tool that we can glorify the Lord, and we can just enjoy the food and the fellowship. Today we're going to talk about from helpless to hopefulness. From helpless to hopefulness. And I want you to grab your scripture and out of John, the gospel according to John, chapter 9, and we'll be citing verses 1 through 14. And today we're going to share scripture from the New Living Bible, the New Living Study Bible, to kind of get a little better contemporary what we're trying to convey today by the help of the Lord. The gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents? Jesus said, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, he was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. But while I am still here in this world, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Then he spat upon the ground, made mud and saliva, and soothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So that he went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, is this the same man, that beggar? Some said he was. Others said, no, but he surely looks like him. And the beggar kept saying, I am the same man. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and smoothed it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off the mud. And I went and washed, and now I can see. Amen. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. Then they took the man to the Pharisees. How, as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on a Sabbath. May the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his eternal word. Let us pause for a few minutes. A total 100% dependence on God, and the Holy Spirit will empower and endow these few minutes. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you have performed in this setting, and that you're still performing miracles today. We pray, Lord, that God, the Holy Spirit, would just take these eternal truths, make them part of our lives today, make it contemporary, that we would continue to hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee, and that we would take what we have learned and apply it to the circles of people that we come in contact with and have something to say. For Jesus' sake, amen. You know, as time is marching on, and I have been appreciating and so grateful to be here with you. And a formal blessing in this ministry, in my ministry, what keeps me going? What keeps me on the highway every week? Well, the formula is a blessing. And it was simply asked by Lehman Strauss. I met Lehman Strauss. He was a well-known Bible teacher, and he had a radio program at least about 30 years ago or so. And he asked Warren Wisby what was the formula kept him going in the ministry. And it was real simple. He said, it's simple. Pray, preach, and plug away. That's all you got to do. And that's what I want to continue to do until I drop dead. From helpless to hopefulness. Isn't that a beautiful subject? Yes. Jesus Christ gives us hope today. And you know, the aim of this, or the prepositional phrase, if I was to get technical, is real simple. The effects of salvation. And that's what we want to talk about. That's the direction we're going. The effects of salvation. It's one thing to be having salvation, but it's another thing to have effects of your salvation or your deliverance. Okay? Or you being born again. You know, and there's at least four features in this message that highlights the healing of this man. And it's the problem that participate the healing of this man. The purpose of the man being born blind. The power that healed him. And number four, the perplexity of the people who saw the healing. So today, we want to discover why Jesus healed this man. Why? What? What was the outcome of him doing so? And the when question is important as well, because this discourse happened on the Jewish Sabbath day. And that, you know, you in those days, you don't work on the Sabbath day. No forms of work on the Sabbath day. And this created an uproar and a division among the religious folks. And just prior to this episode, it is noted Jesus made a statement to the blind leaders. First and foremost, I made the Sabbath day. He was saying, I am who I am. And what the hostile mob does not, what they do, they took up stones to kill Jesus, but it wasn't time yet. It wasn't his time. Isaiah 9:6 tells us of the coming Messiah. He was the wonderful counselor. And Jesus was the Almighty God at that time. They didn't realize it. Jesus was the everlasting Father at that time. They didn't understand. And he was the Prince of Peace right among them. At the same time, the disciples were viewing this advent of this episode of this man, blind man. They was taking this reasoning from a philosophical and theological point of view, trying to figure it out. Teachers, rabbi, why are you doing this? They were concerned about the cause. Who sinned? Did the man sin? Did their parents sin? Jesus was concerned about a cure. He's concerned about a cure for all of us, wasn't he? He had compassion on this man as he was walking from the temple. And the beggar or the blind man, he saw them. And he had compassion on him. Jesus exhibited compassion. Don't we need more compassion today? And compassion is simply your pain in my heart. That's point blank about what compassion boils down to be. Is your pain, your sorrow, your hurt, your grief in my heart. And he saw that. Jesus performed this miracle on this man by recreating the eyes of this blind man born with congenital blindness, that means from birth. These onlookers and disciples were concerned about who sinned. Who sinned? It was clear in the text it wasn't a sin from his parents, nor his personal sin from him. The man's blindness was just an opportunity, get this, just an opportunity for the sovereignty works of God might be displayed. That was the purpose of the blindness of this man. Jesus came to this world to make people whole, didn't he? And we can attest to that if we have received Christ as our own personal Savior. In this chapter, in chapter 9, is just at this point, it's five miracles that have been taking place. But it shows something of the effects of salvation. Something that can demonstrate peace in our lives. Light in our lives. And life in our lives. Light is given to us by Christ. It is noted that in verse 4, while it is day, and that meant that while Jesus was it still was the brightly shining star among men. He was doing and bidding the Father's will. Because we'll see in the narrative, night is coming. The crucifixion is coming. That's the beginning of night. And this is a reference when Jesus was to be taken from his disciples in crucifixion. So we notice Jesus in verse 1 here. Jesus was not concerned about who did sin. It was trivial. It was a carnal question. Jesus was concerned about a cure. He's concerned about a cure for us today. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We inherit that from the first Adam. We see here in John here, let's look at verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version here. As Jesus passed by, he saw this blind man from his birth, and his disciples asked him, "Master, who did sin?" Verse 3, Jesus said, "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." Jesus had just declared himself to be the light of the world, and he set out to demonstrate that. As the light of the world, Jesus came to penetrate the darkness of this world. John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." This world is accursed. We need to let Christ touch our eyes, our blindness, if you may, so that we can see the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Others may see the light of the world. Jesus asked him, this blind man, we see in 6 and 7, he asked this blind man to go and wash, and what did he do? He simply obeyed him. And that's all we need to do. Christ will fight all our battles, all our struggles, and all our hang-ups and everything, and set us free. All we need to do is trust and obey. There's a song like that I heard. All we need to do is trust and obey. The Lord sent him to the pool of Siloam, and John makes a point of telling Siloam simply means sent. Even the name of the pool bears testimony that Jesus is sent from the Father. Amen. You see, water represents the word of God in many passages of Scripture. And it was the word that this conversion was possible. The blind man part was to trust and obey. John 15:3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Water is a symbol of the word of God. Now, this blind man is a parallel of our own condition of sinners. It's a parallel before we were saved. Let me explain. Number one, the blind man was outside the temple. We were outside of Jesus Christ before we got saved, right? He was shut off from God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter, let me see, can I find it right quick? Shows you about the condition, our condition, without Jesus Christ, without hope, without eternal life. Our condition, Paul says, and you have he made alive or quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the prince, the devil of this world, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And Paul says, among whom also you had all your conduct or conversation of time past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And then Paul says, even when we were dead in sins, Christ have quickened us together with Christ and have made us and raised us together and to made us living together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is our condition. That was our condition. That was our plight. And number two, the man was blind. He was unable to see the Savior and blind from birth. We come into this world spiritually blind. We don't understand the harmony of the gospel. We were naive when it became the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. But God hath quickened us. He hath made us alive. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. Number three, the blind man was beyond human help. I don't care how many psychiatrists you go to, or psycho doctors, and find out your problem. They can't fix it. They ain't gonna be able to fix it. Only Dr. Jesus can fix it. Our condition. The blind man was beyond human help, what I'm saying. And nobody can cure, and nobody had a cure for blindness today. We were helpless sinners in a world, and no one else could cure us, spiritually speaking. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. We sang that a week or two ago, like Jesus. And number four, he was a beggar. We were beggars. We were in need, telling one beggar to another beggar how to find the bread of life. And it boils down to accept it as God's free gift. The Bible says, ho, everyone that thirst comes to the waters, and he that have no money, come you, buy and eat, you buy wine and milk without money and without price, Isaiah says. The blind man shared his newfound faith like we should be sharing every day. And some of us have been saved for many years. And just to give you a friendly reminder, all you got to do is say something like this blind man said when he was challenged by his neighbors and onlookers. He had something to say. He said, my story is like this. It's real simple. I was blind, helpless, and in my sin. Then he says, then I met Jesus. And this is how my life changed. Real simple. I was once blind, but now I see. Isn't that a very practical and relevant testimony? You can express it in your own ways and in your own words. This basically what it boils down to. But now I see. This prophet, he thought, this man named Jesus, he hadn't even accepted and following Jesus Christ fully. But he changed my life. So we see here in our narrative here, and when he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay and spittle, and he anointed the eyes of this blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Obedient. Obedience. You know, the same with us. If you and I have been changed from blindness to seeing, get this, and you and I go on with people noticing that your life have changed. If there's no evidence of a change, then something's wrong with that picture. It should be a striking difference than you and I. Something have changed in our life, or should have changed. People should be acting like the onlookers. Is this the same Roger? You know, in verse 13, rather verse 13, chapter verse 13, it gets a little murky and a little messy here. And the interrogative question with the Pharisees and the blind man, these wicked religious leaders now investigate both the man and his parents, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees asked the man, what happened to you? Who is this man and where is he? They want to find out, where is he? He's claiming to be God. And Jesus slips in the crowd because his time was not yet appropriate to be taken. And this man is not from God, they said. He is working on the Sabbath. Others say, how can an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? But the man, the blind man, simply, I think he's a prophet. I think he's a teacher. I think he's a rabbi. The Pharisees' question is, in detail, they want to find out more. Is this your son? Ask him. He's enough. He's old enough to ask. Yes. The religious leaders cannot deny the miracles. They could not deny the miracles of Jesus. They tried to keep the Lord Jesus from receiving the credit. That testimony of any sinner who has been saved. Once I was in spiritual darkness, but now I'm in spiritual light. I trust that that is your testimony today. Now look at verse 9 and 10. Some said, this is he. Others said, it's like him. But he said, I am he. I am the one that has been touched. I am the one that he have shown compassion. And he have changed my life, the remnant of my whole life. And that struck a chord, and they really got silent. They could deny the fact of the miracle of Christ. That is the testimony of any sinner, has been said. Jesus showed compassion, caring for those whom are most vulnerable, most marginalized, most forgotten, most oppressed, demonized, social outcasts. Jesus wants to meet our needs today. My Bible tells me he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's still in the healing. He's still in the restoration business. He's still in the salvation business. But he wants us to come. And he will in no wise cast us out, he says. Because they were distressed and disoriented like sheep without a shepherd. This is the beneficiary that Jesus gives all of us. It was John Weston penned the most beloved hymn in history, Amazing Grace. Listen. He shared Amazing Grace. You know the song. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Can you attest to that song? Paul declares it this way. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus wants to restore us. Jesus wants to give us spiritual insight. Jesus is the light of the world. And I trust that you have experienced this. And I trust that you will tell others of his amazing grace as we be obedient to his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for you being the light of this world while there was day. Because after the crucifixion, this world will be in darkness. Because the light has been crucified, has been raised, has been ascended to heaven. And we as Christians, Father, are the light bearers of Jesus Christ, and we need to let our light so shine before men and manifest his good works in our lives that we may glorify the Father which is above. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for saying on the cross, it is finished. The light of the world is finished. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us another comforter, the Holy Spirit, and have completed and sealed it us until you're coming again. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.